Today's first reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and we have a little bit of New Testament history here as we take a look at what happened on the day of the Ascension. The Bible says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering and also his death, he showed himself to these men, that is, to his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Let's go back for a moment there. Regarding the former book, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Gospel of Luke. Who is Theophilus? Theophilus is most likely a more wealthy man who was, in a sense, supporting Luke in being able to do the research he did and the writing he did. That was something that took a lot of money. So Theophilus seems to be the one that was supporting Luke in this endeavor. And then it talks about this idea that the Gospel of Luke is containing all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. In other words, the Gospel of Luke, what is it? It's a summary of Jesus' entire ministry. We are so blessed to have these writings. And then it says, many convincing proofs are included that he was alive. When someone dies and we hear that someone has risen, that seems impossible. God wants us to know there are many convincing proofs. He wants us to be absolutely certain that though Jesus really did die on a cross, really truly he did rise from the dead. And if we are going to just not pay attention to that and go on with our lives, shame on us. We should sit up and take notice and realize that this Jesus, he is God in the flesh. He is the promised Savior of the world. And then it says he appeared to them, to his disciples, over a period of 40 days. Well, we're talking about from the resurrection on Easter until today. So that is a period of time that we have just come through, and now we are gathered to celebrate today his ascension. Going on in this reading, we see now instructions about the Holy Spirit. Picking up in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, literally in 10 days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So what is this baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, think about when someone is baptized with water. We take the person and we pour water over the person, and God is at work through the water and through the word to do powerful things. So they understood about baptism and about water. So when he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, as we take something and we pour water over it, so the disciples on the day of Pentecost, God would pour the Holy Spirit over them, similar to baptism. That's what he wanted them to know was coming in just a few days, as Jesus said. And then we come to instructions about their mission. Verse 6, it says, "So when they met together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when," in other words, 10 days from now, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," in other words, in this city, "in all Judea and Samaria," in other words, in this country, "and to the ends of the earth," in other words, throughout the entire world. Let's go back for a moment. This idea about restoring the kingdom to Israel. Are a lot of people, even today, caught up in this idea that somehow Israel is going to be restored in such a way that the temple is going to be rebuilt and things are going to be like they were back at the time when Jesus was here on earth? A lot of people are caught up in things, focusing on things, putting time and effort into things that I don't think God wants us to focus on today. He wants us to get back to the basics of the reality of sin. He wants us to get back to the basics of who Jesus is, the one and only Savior, to focus on our relationship with Him, and to focus on living for Him and honoring Him and sharing Him until finally the day that He comes. So in a sense here, Jesus was saying, stop focusing on that type of thing and focus on what is most important. Focus on what will make an eternal difference for others. Since God has enabled us to believe the account of these eyewitnesses and to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, let us be filled with joy, and may God help us to share the good news. Now still in Acts chapter 1, coming to verse 9, we come to the actual ascension. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. We come now to a reminder of Jesus' return. Picking up in verse 10, the Bible says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, in other words, two angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So think about it. Jesus ascended nearly 2,000 years ago, and some might say, is he ever coming back? But God wants us to know that every promise he makes, for certain, he will keep that promise. We can be absolutely confident that Jesus is coming back. So what is important? It is important that we ever remain ready by always knowing that we are sinners, being sorry for our sins, and trusting only in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. Going on to today's epistle reading, we come to Ephesians chapter 1, picking up in verse 15. In this first section, I want you to think about how from faith comes love, our love toward God and love toward others. And then we see Paul here responding with thanks and praise. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. So again, it's so important to notice the order. Don't many people go through life and they say, if only I could somehow do better or do good enough, then maybe God would accept me, and then maybe things would turn out okay. God wants us to know that never, ever can we make ourselves acceptable. So God comes to us. God shows us that we are helpless. God gives us that gift of faith to trust in Jesus. And then being united to him, being in a relationship with God, what comes from that is love for God and love for neighbor. So you notice how Paul responded. Paul not only heard of their faith, but he saw the evidence of their faith. He saw their love. So what did he do then? He gave great thanks to God for the work he had done already in their lives, and he prayed that God would continue to grow them up in Jesus Christ. I want to be able to pray that prayer in connection with all of you too. So I praise God that you're here tonight. I praise God that you're listening to the Word of God, and I want him to make your relationship with him so strong that way, virtually every day of your life and all that you're thinking, all that you're saying, all that you're doing, it's evident that in fact you are united to Jesus Christ. So it's not that any of that gets us to heaven, but that shows the evidence that really, truly, we have faith in Christ. We are united to him. He is our Savior. Verse 17 says, Paul writing to the Ephesians says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Thinking about that topic, thinking about Paul praying for the Ephesians, let me offer a prayer even now for you and even for all the members of Bethlehem, for all who are gathered here today. Let us pray. Dear Father, for all who know Jesus as Savior, my prayer for them is that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, grow them up in your word, and help them to show that they have that relationship in many and various ways. I also pray, dear Father, for all the others who maybe somehow think they know Jesus, but they really don't. Somehow they're deceived and they don't know it. I don't know who such people are, dear Father, but you know. For all such people who are not yet in Christ, I pray, Father, that you would get their attention, even if you have to make life difficult for them, somehow, some way, get their attention, and with your power and in your mercy, bring them to Christ and transform their lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Going on to verse 18, the Bible says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So for us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, let us know that there are blessings that God has already given us and blessings that we will have forever and ever that are just so far beyond our comprehension, and yet they are true. God, who created the entire world, speaking it into existence, is he able to bless us greatly? By all means. He wants us to be excited about what we have now and even more excited about what is yet to come. So what about this power that he talked about that is at work in us who believe? Now, in this next reading, he's going to tell us about how great that power is. Notice what the Bible says. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Just pause for a moment. Think about this. Picture a movie about Jesus, and picture what he looked like after he was beaten, what he looked like when he was hanging on the cross, how they took his dead body off that tree. That would sure seem to be the end, wouldn't it? But God wants us to know, though he really, truly was crucified, really, truly he died, he is alive by the power of God. It doesn't matter how impossible it seems, God has done it. So he wants us to know, not only has he done that, but then he has taken Jesus, who is now the living Savior, and he has exalted him to a place that is, again, far above our comprehension, but yet indeed it is true. And then picking up in verse 22, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So the church is not a building, the church is not a service, the church, rather, includes all who are believers in Jesus, and that is the one body of Christ. We are all connected together in that one body. God wants all of us to care about each other, be a blessing to each other. So we rejoice in being together in that one body of Christ, and we rejoice that Jesus Christ is the head of that body, and even now he is ruling and reigning over all things for the good of the church, his very own body. Coming finally to today's gospel reading, we pick up in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44. Here we see that Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. Jesus said to them, to his disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Thus he meant everything in the entire Old Testament scriptures. God wants us to know the Bible, what is it about? It is about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Though his name is not mentioned in the Old Testament, it's still about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God wants us to see that. He wants us to know how important that is. He wants us to know that Jesus should be our all in all. Nothing is more important. Whether it's our work, our family, our friends, whatever it is, Jesus should be far more important than any of that. He is our Savior. He is our ticket to heaven. So he wants us to dig in to the scriptures, to read them, to study them, to believe them, to live them, and then to share them with others so that they might be blessed too. And then Jesus went on and explained the scriptures. The Bible says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So we know Jesus died. We know Jesus rose, so let us also then know the importance of being truly sorry for our sins and receiving and ever believing and ever hanging on to Jesus Christ as our Savior. We come to where Jesus explained now the role of his disciples. God wants us to know that we are disciples too. We are followers of the Christ. Jesus said to them, "You are witnesses of these things." So what things is he talking about? He's talking about his entire ministry. All he said, all he taught, all he did, his death, his resurrection, they witnessed it. And now God has enabled us to believe that such things are true. So now, let us hear and respond to Jesus' cry as we sing this next hymn verse. And then Jesus told of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What is true for us? In our baptism, we also receive power from on high. God gave us also the Holy Spirit. So God is calling us to use the power he has given in order to serve in his kingdom. Someday will come a day when there's no longer any opportunity to serve. Now we have opportunity. God is saying, seize that opportunity and do so unto God's glory. And then we see Jesus ascended into heaven. The Bible says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Finally, the Bible tells us that the disciples worshiped and praised the Lord. It says, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Would you please arise? Dear Lord Jesus, as we think about you being our ascended Lord and Savior, as we look at your life, Lord Jesus, on earth, we thank you for not giving up. Even when it was super difficult, you did not turn away, but you kept pressing forward in order to finish the work that you came to do. Let us know that is true, and let us rejoice in what you have done. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for having been sent down upon us to be with us, to fill us, to help us, to guide us, to empower us. Let us remember your presence with us. Let us take advantage of all the blessings you give us and help us to function in a way that God is honored and glorified. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you especially for spiritual life, but we do not want to continue as spiritual infants, just barely hanging on to spiritual life. Rather, we want to grow up spiritually. We want to grow in our relationship with you. We want to know your word better. We want to better know your will for our lives and follow your will. We want to be a blessing to other people in this life so that they might be blessed forever and ever. Help us, dear Father, to move in that direction beyond spiritual infancy so that we are truly functioning in ways that honor you. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father in heaven, to love you, to love your Son, it's not that we say I love you, but rather we dig into your word, we find out your will, and then we do whatever you say with confidence, knowing it is best. Help us to show that kind of love for you every day. And also help us to love others. Help us to look at them, to see their needs, and take action. And when others might say to us, why are we doing that? Let us tell them about your goodness to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.